Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, thank you for joining us. I don't know what your life is like, but every life has its ups and downs, its beginnings, its ends. And sometimes we go through things that are very difficult. Some things are very enjoyable. We have friends. We lose friends. We do all those things. And so, as I said, Ecclesiastes says there's a time under every season. And so today, when you're out there, it's a beautiful day here in the studio. I'm looking outside the window, and the weather is good. It's like 80 degrees outside. And so you may be going through a hard time. Remember this, that if we go through a hard time, if we suffer in this lifetime, if we are suffering for Christ, there's great reward. If we're suffering because of our own bad natures, you know what? We can always change those habits and natures. So listen, I have a good friend of mine here today. He has been with me many years. Well, actually, he was at the mission many years before I came. He was there 20 years before, well, not quite 20, when I got there. His name is Greg Baker. If you've called the mission, you've probably spoken to him because he's the receptionist now. He has worked in the finance department, in the where we do the intake, where we take the checks and all those kind of things. When he started with the mission, I have it on good authority, his job was to go around to all the different stores where we had those little plastic containers for you to donate money. And we used to have those all over Sacramento, and that was one of his jobs. He's a fascinating guy. He's lived at the mission. He's, like I said, done a lot of things. I consider him my friend, and he's retiring. And so I wanted to bring him on the show because he has a wellspring of stories and things that, about the mission. So let me start, though, by telling you that when Greg was on vacation right before I came to take over as director, and Greg was not a happy individual at the time, he had decided that after his vacation, he was just going to quit the mission. I came in on a Friday before I became director, and he was there. And I went to Joshua, waiting to enter the promised land. And through that story, and if you all remember it, Joshua and Caleb were sent with the other 10 spies to find out what the promised land looked like. 10 of them came back and said, there's giants in the land. We're like ants. We can't attack. We can't go in there. And Joshua and Caleb alone said, hey, it's a land of milk and honey. We should go in and possess it because they believed God. Well, the reason that I told that story is there was some, it was a very difficult time at the mission, and Greg was having a difficult time coming back to work there. But then he decided that he would come back and he would give it a shot. And for the last 19 years, he's been there with me. So I think he decided to stay a little bit longer anyway. So Greg, how did you even come to be at the mission?
Well, I was counting money for my mother. And she worked at the mission to begin with. And after that, then she went and put a good word in with the assistant director, which was Haskell Jones. And he hired me and with Pastor Kirk and his son, and it was good, but I was doing coin banks, and it was all I enjoyed doing that because I got to go out and meet a lot of different people and just tell people about the mission. And that was the first thing that I did. And I enjoyed that so much.
Your mom worked at the mission for how long before you came, Greg?
Well, she started at 2nd Street in Old Sacramento as a volunteer. And then the Mr. Carnell or Pastor Carnell, yep, and his wife asked her to come on and work for them. And she was working there since, I think, 1972 or right around then. And I ended up going to 2nd Street and being there for the prayer breakfast. And it was a soup kitchen then, but they had prayer breakfast and they did all kind of things there. And then they moved to a place right next to where the mission is now. And then they built the new facility and they sold the other, the city moved us from the old place to our new place.
Yeah, that's where VOA is right now, correct?
Yes.
And so what the city was going to do, I understand, is take the land by eminent domain at the time. And so we had no choice about selling it. But regardless of that, what was it about 1978 that they moved into where we are now?
Yes, and it was a nice facility, but now they moved and we rebuilt the facility, and it's a brand new facility, and people should come down and take a look.
I agree.
Because it's something that people should see what the mission, where the money went, and how beautiful it looks now.
You know, we always invite people to come down to the mission. One of the things, if you happen to be a donor, you don't have to be a donor to come down and get a tour. But if you happen to be a donor and you'd like to see where it is that all the money that you send in is going to, you know, a lot of times you have a charity or you have something you're donating to, and you really never know what's happening. Well, we invite you all the time, just come down, take a tour, see what we do down there. As Greg alluded to, we have a building that had been there since like 1978, and I'm not sure if it was always contractors who were working on it. I think there was a lot of volunteer labor, but it was certainly old and deteriorating. And so we were able to get the permits to open up the walls and replace the studs and rewire and replumb. And so it's essentially a new building, at least as we're moving through. We've done about half of the work needed, and we're moving on to the other. We call it two more stages, but they are much smaller in comparison. And so one thing I'd like to clarify, too, is when Greg said that down on 2nd Street, some of you may be realizing that 2nd Street is actually Old Sacramento. But Old Sacramento back then wasn't exactly a tourist trap, was it, Greg?
It was a bunch of people that homeless people that hung out and would walk around and panhandle and all kinds of different things that you normally wouldn't see in a tourist place.
Yeah, so Old Sacramento was really the slum of Sacramento. And because there was drugs, alcohol, prostitution, and a large homeless population even back then, these five or six businessmen from the area decided that they were going to open, as Greg put it, a soup kitchen in Old Sacramento, which wasn't designated Old Sacramento. It was just old, and it was Sacramento. And so until the redevelopment, it was not a tourist hangout. So when your mom started to work down there, it was a pretty rugged place, huh?
Yes, sir. You wouldn't want to step foot on it, and you wouldn't go down there to do anything at all. You would just stay away from old Sacramento or Second Street, whichever way you'd call that. But it's wonderful where we're at now, and we do appreciate everything that we get. And this morning, I got to go to Our Lady's clothes closet, and I got to visit with the ladies that come and do volunteer, and I got to say goodbye to them.
I know it's very difficult for you to say goodbye. There comes that time in our lives when we do those things, and if you really care about where you're at, it's not easy. It's not easy for anybody that I have known that actually retired. I know that Don Kirk, when he retired, was sick. I don't think he told anybody, but I know it was very difficult for him to leave. When my time comes, it will be very difficult for me to leave. I've been there for almost 19 years, and to be entirely honest with you, I have never cared about a job as much as I care about the Union Gospel Mission. I was, by all accounts, I guess, fairly successful. I owned a commercial air conditioning business before I went into the ministry, and then from pastoring a church into the mission. And when I got there, and the reason that I know it sounded like I brought it around to me, but I wanted to tell you that when I started at the mission, Greg was a pivotal part of the mission at the time. He worked in the finance department, and he worked under Chris. And Chris was suffering from diabetes. Wasn't always easy to get along with at times, but Greg just kind of, he just kind of worked with Chris, and he went along and he did things. And one of the things that I very much admire about Greg is his loyalty to his friends and to people who are maybe not even his friends. I remember that when Chris got very angry at him because Greg was trying to help him, he wanted Greg to get fired. And I said, no. He said, well, I don't know if I can work here then. I said, okay, well, have your resignation on my desk on Monday because I'm not firing Greg. But, so he got over that. I mean, not Greg, but Chris got over it. Now, the reason I bring that up is because one of the things that bothered me the most was at least five times that I know of, probably many more, because Chris was diabetic, sometimes he'd forget to eat after he took his insulin, and he went into dangerously low, what we would call comas. And Greg was the one that went over there, took time off to get over, to get him out, and to make sure that he got an ambulance into the hospital. So I would say that a minimum of five or six times, Greg was able to save Chris's life by getting him the attention that he needed. Every time I lost somebody, from the time that my father-in-law, my mother-in-law died, Greg was there. And my wife, who died 4 years ago in August, or will be 4 years ago in August, loved Greg. He was always supportive of her. He always cared about her. And so you know what? We always kid Greg that he gets to be curmudgeonly, but he's also got a great heart that loves people and a loyalty about his friendship that's admirable. And so, Greg, you have decided to retire. And once again, one of the reasons that you're going to go is because you have a sister. And what's the story about that?
Well, my sister lives in Pennsylvania, so I'm going back to help her. I'm going to help her do a living trust, and I'm going to make sure that she is living with no problems, and we're going to help her just make sure that she is ready to go when she goes, that she is taken care of. And I just love my sister, and I want to make sure that she is happy and being able to live a good life while she's still here. And I'm going to be there and helping her. But I'm also happy to tell you about the other people that work at our mission. The other people that work at our mission, they are so good right now. We have a good group, and we have people that are they look out for the people that are out on the street. They care for the homeless. And we all care for the homeless at the mission, and we want you to come down and help us and enjoy the atmosphere that we have. And most of the people, or all the people that work at the mission, live for Jesus. And we just hope that you're able to come down and see Jesus in our lives.
Amen. I think that's true. That's what we all want. So tell me, Gregory, you have a very special month in the year, right?
Oh, October.
Now, why would that be?
October is my birthday, so I end up wearing a crown around the mission all month.
Yes, he does. Now, I have it on good authority. I saw you wearing that crown the other day, and it's not even October.
No, but we're celebrating my going away, retirement. That crown is going to be on until next Friday.
Well, I don't know if I'd put it quite like we're going to celebrate your going away. We're celebrating your retirement, yes. And so we're gonna give him a send-off and all those kind of things. And obviously, we're going to be praying for you. And I pray for you all the time. I have for a long time. I think you know that. So what was your relationship like with my wife, Olga?
Oh, she was a beautiful lady. She did so many things for everybody. She prayed for everybody. When she was sick and she was laid up, she was laying in bed, and she would either be praying or she'd be reading her Bible. She was a godly lady.
Well, you know, Greg came up when she was in the hospital, and I think the sweetest part of that all is how much he truly cared for her. And it's not just a sad thing about some of the people at the mission that Greg truly cares about. You know, we all have our little idiosyncrasies. We all have habits and do things, but when you cut through all the minutia down to who the person is, Greg has a lot of ability to love and to care for people. And so you took care of your mother for many years before she passed, right?
I took care of my mother and my father, and I love both of them. But dementia and Alzheimer's, they are ugly diseases.
Amen.
And they just tear you apart. We never got to where they never forgot who we were, but I pray for those people that when they get to that position, that they can help and just remember the way that their family or their relative was when they were real, and just don't remember them as where they are now, but remember the way they were, and God will help you through that.
I never got the opportunity to meet your dad, but did your dad have any connection to the mission outside of your mother?
Not really, but he was there when she needed him.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I actually got to know his mother a little bit. I went and saw her in the hospital. She was so funny. She may have had dementia, but I'm sure she didn't have Alzheimer's because she never was. I saw an angry person. Maybe you saw a different side, but no. But I was in the hospital. Greg had just left. I missed him, and the doctor came in and started telling me all her medical problems. I said, "Whoa, hold on a minute." I said, "Are you supposed to be doing that?" He said, "Aren't you her son?" I said, no, I'm just a friend. And his mother looked over and said, "Oh, that's okay. He can hear." So I had a wellspring of information about your mom's medical condition. So, Greg, how long did you have to take? Let's start with your dad. How long did you take care of your dad?
It was about a year that we had, and we had all kinds of different people. He was in hospice, and we had wonderful people come out and help with him. They would watch him while we would go out and go shopping, and then they'd come in and give him baths and just be really beautiful to him. They were wonderful people, and my mother was the same way. They would come out and give her baths, and they would feed her. Well, we would feed her, but she was kept in good shape, and they would just be able to keep her in. I noticed that the people that came were really genuinely worried and wanted to help. There's a lot of people that don't care, but hospice is a wonderful group of people that they have people that will help you through any situation that you need that has to do with death.
Well, Gregory, you in about a minute and a half, we're going to have to end the show, but I'd like you to stay for one more show. I'd like to talk to you about a few of the growth spurts that the mission has had and things that you've seen, changes and in the way we do things and who we are and those type of things. And you've been there through the whole thing. I mean, you and Steve have been there the longest. So can you stay with me? We just got a minute left.
Yes, sir.
All right. So folks out there, one of the things that I think is important for us all to notice is that when people get to the stage of Greg's mom, that, yes, we need to remember who they were, not just who they are now. And we need to love them as they are and remember who they were. And so for you out there that are caretakers, it's a very, very tough job. And yes, I agree with you, Greg. Hospice and the nurses and the caretakers, we really forget about them sometimes. So, my dear friends out there, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
Listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.